Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Ayin Beis. We are holding on daf Ayin Aleph on Beis. We are two lines before the end of the page. But Midbar, my time, Alo Mo. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by David Kesselman in honor of the shiur and the helpful guidance he gives. He tried to sponsor it in my honor. Because the shiur doesn't give that much guidance. We thank David very much. Also by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, Lili Nishmas, the yard site of Jeanette's mother, Shifra Tzipora Bas Chaim Shmuel, the yard site is today, Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Aleph and Beis. And the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of Moshuch Ba'or Lasso. Since we're talking about an Orel and whether an Orel is allowed to eat Truma, we're going to continue that discussion and we're going to talk about someone who is Moshuch Ba'or Lasso. So a person had a Bris Mila and now no longer has a Bris Mila. Along the way, the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of Shomer Psoyim Hashem. We're going to bring up that idea that Shomer Psoyim Hashem. We're also going to talk about the halachic status of a tumtum, and we're going to have a brisa that mentions that a tumtum can have a wife, and the Gemara is going to discuss how could that possibly be that there's such a thing that a tumtum has a wife. And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about an orel doing hazaa of the mechatas of the efer paraduma. We already discussed doing hazaa on an orel when the orel is on the receiving end of the hazaa. But what about on the giving end of the hazaa? The halach is that a tamei person is not allowed to do a hazaa. An arel has a din tamei for some things. But do we assume that it's an actual form of tumah, or that that's just the terminology that we use to describe the spiritual problems or the metaphysical problems with an arel, but it's not an actual form of tumah? So let's begin again two lines from the end of the page. On daf ayin aleph and beis, but midbar my time alo mahol, but midbar my time alo mahol. When Klal Yisrael was in the midbar, why is it that they were not mekayim the mitzvah of mila all of those years that they were traveling in the midbar? So iba yisem mishum chul shudu orcha. One possibility is because of the traveling, it would have been a sakana for them to do it because they were so weak from the traveling. The Ritva says that Bederech, it's a sakana to get a mila. So since Al Pi Hashem Yachanu Val Pi Hashem Yisau, the Torah tells us that they traveled, they never knew when they were going to have to travel next. There was never a time where they can confidently do a bris mila and assume that they'll be in one place long enough to not have to worry about doing a bris mila. So the Ritva says, oh yeah, if that's the case, why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished about his children not having a bris mila? He didn't mal them because they were on the derech to go back to Mitzrayim. So he says, yeah, because that was not al pi Hashem Yachnu, al pi Hashem Yisau. That was still at a point where it was up to them to do, it was up to Moshe Rabbeinu to figure out when he wanted to travel and when he didn't want to travel, and therefore he should have done a mila at that point. So the Gemara says, v'iba yaseima, which sounds like it's saying another answer, which the Ritva certainly understands that this is a second answer, that mishum t'lo nashav lehu ruach tzvonis, that the ruach tzvonis did not blow while they were in the midbar, and therefore the sun didn't shine as it should have, and mila would not heal properly, because the ruach tzvonis is helpful for refuah because it's cool, it's not too warm, it's not too cold, and through that the sun shines in its proper way, and the sun ultimately has tremendous healing powers. So they weren't able to do a mila. And the reason I emphasize that the Ritva says that these are two separate answers, it seems pretty obvious they're two separate answers, is because the Beis Halevi in Parshas Beshalach on the Pasuk of Ayavah Amalek explains that the two answers don't argue with each other, and that you need both answers in order to work. So anyway, Detanya Kolos and Arbaim Shana Shayisol B'Midbar Lo Nash V'Lem Ruach Tzvonis, that the entire 40 years that the Jewish people were in the Midbar, the Ruach Tzvonis did not blow that entire time, and therefore they couldn't get a mila. So again, two possibilities: either because why the Klal Yisrael didn't do bris mila in the midbar, either because the travel was too difficult and would have been dangerous, or because it was dangerous because they didn't have the normal healing power. They didn't have access to the normal healing power of the sun. So ask the Gemara, my time, why was it that the Ruach Tzvonis didn't blow? Meaning, we're saying because there was a natural phenomenon or an un unnatural phenomenon that the rock's funnels didn't blow for those 40 years. But why did that not happen? Two possibilities. Either because they were nezufim, which Rashi understands means Hashem was still angry at them over the Chet Egel, and therefore they did not deserve that the sun would shine for them in a proper way. The other Rishonim say that no, nezufim can't be because of the Chet Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti after the Chet Egel. So they already got their Mechila from the Chet Egel. And they made a Mishkan after the Chet Egel. They had Hashras Hashchina after the Chet Egel. No, there's another major candidate of why there would be Nezufim L'Makom, and that's the Avera we still pay for today, and that is the Chet HaMeraglim. And in that sense, they were Nezufim, according to the first understanding. The Meiri says that to be Miyashiv Rashi, that even though it was Nimcha Lehem, but there were still certain tzitzin of the Chet that were Ma'akev. He uses that Lashon, tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, just like we use by Mila, there were tzitzin of the Chet that were Ma'akev. There were still portions of the Chet that somehow were causing us, were still on our criminal record, so to speak. The Aruch Liner says within Rashi, that Rashi is also moda that the Nezifa was because of the Chet HaMeraglim, but he was just bothered that how could the Gemara say, Kol Arba'im Shana Lo Nashra Ruach Tzvonis? The Maisa Meraglim was not until the second year. So that's how Rashi's filling in that gap. And he says in the first year we were in Nezufim because of the Chet HaEgel. And that's that took most of the first year, because until from Yud Zayin Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where we finally had Ashras HaShechina and we were actually forgiven. And then Taka the Ruach Tzvonis blew and we were mal, the children, we did a Korban Pesach properly. But Petisha B'Av, we did the Chet HaMeraglim, and that came by Nezifa, the new Nezifa. And until we passed through the Yardane. So the second year was Rove Benazifa from Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rove of the second year is also Benazifa, and therefore, if Rove of the first year is Benazifa, Rove of the second year is Benazifa, so that it makes sense that the Ruach Tzvonis did not blow Kol Arba'im Shana throughout all 40 years, even though there may have been a break in there, says the Aruch Liner, where Taka did blow. So that's one possibility. And the other possibility, the Gemara says, is that the Ruach Tzvonis couldn't blow because it would have dispersed the Anane HaKavod, which of course the obvious kasha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the Anane HaKavod. So the Ritva says HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes to bring us the Anane HaKavod. The entire Anane HaKavod were a miracle anyway, so if Hashem is going to make a wind, can't he make a wind that doesn't blow away the Anane HaKavod? So the Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the fourth Parak of Pirkei Avos says that the Ruach never blew the Ashan HaMa'aracha. So we had smoke on the Ma'aracha, on the Mizbech, and it was a pillar of smoke. And no matter how windy it gets in Yerushalayim, it went up as a straight pillar of smoke. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes these kinds of miracles, right? This is in his repertoire, so why didn't he make such a miracle for the Anane HaKavod? So the Ritva says HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to make a Neis Shalol Tzarech, because midin Torah, the Mila that's a Besakana, you're allowed to delay. Meaning that's the Halacha, that when it's a Sakana do a Mila, you're allowed to delay. And since we were in the Zufin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't giving us extra opportunities to do mitzvahs, meaning it would have been a tremendous act of love by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it that we were halachically obligated and therefore permitted to do a milah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't interested in giving us extra opportunities to be able to do mitzvahs because we were nezufin at that time. So that's why the Ruach Tzvonis didn't blow, to not blow away the Anane HaKavod, which gave us the problem of not being able to do Bris Milah, but it's a valid halacha keter not to do Bris Milah, because then we were in Sakana. Okay, so we said that we didn't get a Milah that whole time. So Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach, Yoma De'iva, we see from there that if it's a cloudy day, Yoma De'shusa, or a day that the Ruach Dromis, which is the harshest of all the Ruchos, is blowing, Loma Alinun Be, you shouldn't do a Bris Milah, V'loma Sochrinun Be, you also shouldn't do bloodletting, meaning don't put something that will compromise you health-wise on those days that you don't have the normal natural therapeutic powers of the world. But nowadays, we don't take this into the cheshbon. People just do a bris milah on the eighth day. So we say, Shomer P'sayim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over people who are not chachamim to know how to watch over themselves. If people aren't being careful, it's because people don't know how to be careful, and we assume Shomer P'sayim Hashem. Now that is a fascinating discussion in halacha. When do we apply this concept of Shomer P'sayim Hashem? When do we say that a person has an obligation to guard their health, and you're not allowed to say, well, I'm a fool and I don't know anything, and therefore I'm going to just be a pessy? And when do we say that this is the way the world operates, and Shomer P'sayim Hashem? Famously, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Choshen Mishpat Chelek Beis, Siman Vav, where he talks about smoking, and he applies Shomer Psalim Hashem, and he talks about eating fatty foods, and he puts them in the same category. And he says, if you have something that there are a lot of people that the food does not negatively affect, and a lot of people eat fatty meat and they eat spicy foods on a constant basis, and it's not a healthy thing to do, but there's not going to be an issur tirit michshach sakana because most people do it and it doesn't seem that it causes them any harm. And he brings a raya. The Rambam writes in the fourth parak of Hilchos Deos about a lot of different types of food and drinks that are good and healthy for the body and those that are very unhealthy. But he never uses the lashon of iser, not midaraisa nor midarabanan. He never says asru chachamim or asr, unlike when he talks about something that's a michshol for sakanas nefashos and Hilchos Rotzeach and Perek Yud Aleph, where he says you're not allowed to leave something around that's going to cause bodily harm, even if it's only a chashash of sakana for yourself. And he says it's a chiyav asay, yishomer l'chosh mar nafshecha, and it's a los asay, los asim damim beveisecha. So, but when there's only a chashash sakana, it's an iser midrabanan, makaros al makas mardus. And yet, when it comes to healthy and unhealthy foods, the Rambam doesn't say a lashon of iser. He just says that it's not appropriate that a person needs to be healthy in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's not right for a person to do things that are going to compromise their health, and then they're not going to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam properly. So, must be, says Rav Moshe, that those foods are in the category of Shomer Psayim Hashem. So, can you say that there's an iser daray to eat a donut? So no, it's not an issur d'oraisa to eat a donut, not even an issur d'rabanan to eat a donut. But a person should be mindful of their health. Now, that maybe is not such a chiddush, right? Probably most people would say it's neither an issur d'oraisa nor an issur d'rabanan to eat a donut. The chiddush that Moshe has is then he applies that to smoking. And he says that since it's something that everybody does, and it seems that a lot of people are totally unaffected by it, so that's what Rav David Feinstein, Zichron Levracha, said, that his father died in the early 80s, and by the amount of research that had come out a few years later, it was obvious that his father would not have said this way. This is not, you know, some wild Talmud saying, you know, sticking some sheet into Rav Moshe. It was Rav David. Rav David was always, like we mentioned last week, he was always the one that you knew you could absolutely, absolutely be sure. He was with Rav Moshe every second of every day. He was always there. You could be sure that if he says it, I think they write this in that Sefer V'Dibartabam, where Rav David's Piskei Halacha. So Mishnah Berurah already asked smoking many years before that in Likutei Amarim. Mishnah Berurah, they really didn't know all the effects, but he heard that can cause cancer. So he asked it as well. Nowadays, the Shaila is never about smoking anyway. No one's really interested in smoking. Everyone's interested in vaping. So the Shaila becomes different. It's different types of it's ingesting tiny amounts of poison at a time. So that's what everyone always asks about. But anyway, they don't ask whether it's mutter or not. They ask about kashrus, the kashrus of the different different flavors. Okay, so moving on. So it says, the entire 40 years that we were in the Midbar and the Ruach Tzvonis didn't blow, at least at midnight the Ruach Tzvonis blew. My Talmuda, how do you see from that pasuk that the Ruach Tzvonis blew just because Hashem performed Makas Becharus and Chatzi Alayla? You see that that's a Shas Ratzon, that just like at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed Makas Becharus, it's also in Neis Ratzon that at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make the Ruach Tzvonis blow, even throughout the 40 years that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, where it wasn't typically blowing. The Gemara in the beginning of Shas, in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, tells us that at midnight there was a particular Ruach Tzvonis that blew. That's how David HaMelech would wake up. He would have a kinor lemala meirosho, and the Ruach Tzvonis would blow on the kinor and would wake him up each and every night. So you see, dafka b'chatzi alayla, there is this therapeutic power of the Ruach Tzvonis. Amar Rav Huna, Dvar Torah. So now we get into the discussion of someone who's mashuch ba'arlaso. Let's say a person was not an arl in the conventional sense. He had a mila once, but then he did something to cover up the mila with the skin that was still around that area. So Amar Rav Huna, Dvar Torah, mida oraisa, the halacha is that mashuch ochel b'truma, that a kohen who's mashuch ba'arlaso is allowed to eat truma because he's not really an arl. Umidivrayim gazru alav mipreshenira ka'arl. But it's only in isa midrabanan that he's not allowed to eat truma because he looks like an arel. He has the physical appearance of an arel, even though he's not actually halachically on a daraisa level in an arel. So meisve. So the Gemara asks, but there's a brisa mashal tzarut sheyimol. Doesn't it say that a mashal has to do mila? So answers Gemara midrabanan. No, that doesn't mean on a daraisa level. That means midrabanan. So it's not a kasha. It's exactly what Rav Huna told us that a mashal tzarut sheyimol only on a drabanan level. Ask Gemara the kari the maikari the hatzarich katani. Obviously, the word tzarich means midrabanan, right? It doesn't say that a mashal chayiv b'mila. It doesn't say that he's an ara. It says that tzarich is always a lashon of a drabanan. How could the Gemara even think that this would be a challenge to Rav Huna, who said that mashal parlaso is possible b'truma midrabanan and is kasher midaraisa? Why is it that tzarich is a lashon of drabanan? So pashtus is that tzarich is a command of what the gavra should do when it comes to dinim daraisa. We describe what is as opposed to what the person should be doing. That's what the Nesivus writes, famous Nesivus, that whenever it comes to Dinim Daraisa, all Yisurim Daraisa are Yisuri Chefza, and Yisurim Drabanan are Dinim in the Gavra. That's what the Mishnah at the beginning of Masech HaSukkah, that the Malam Echafama, Yima'it. Yima'it is a Lashon, the Gemara says, is a Lashon of Midrabanan, because not a Lashon of a Psul Daraisa. If you want to say a Psul Daraisa, you say Pasul. Pasul means that it's a problem midaraisa. It is. The chefza is pasul. When you're telling me what to do, then you're talking to the gavra. So that would be a din midrabanan. So the lashon of tzarech is a lashon midrabanan. So answer Gemara, why would I have thought that this was a kasha on Rav Huna? Because katai b'seifa. The makshan made a mistake in understanding the braisa based on the seifa of the braisa. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yimol mnei shasakani hilo. The Rabbi Yehuda says that a mashach bar lasa so shouldn't do a mila because he might cut himself too much and it's going to be a sakana, he's going to become a kroshavcha and he's not going to be able to have any children. And Omer lo, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo harbi malu b'yimei ben koziva, during the days of Bar Kochva, there were many people that got a mila because the Ovdi Kochavim we were moshech them ba'onas in Beitar, and then Bar Kuziva was overpowered them, defeated them, and he was a melech for 2.5 years. And Rashi points out, and they did mila during those 2.5 years before ultimately Bar Kochva himself was killed. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about what exactly happened with Bar Kochva. It was somewhat of a dark chapter. But Bar Kochva during that time they redid their milas after they were mashach paralasam and volidu banam ubanas, and they had many children. So why do you, Rabbi Yehuda, why are you concerned someone's going to be mashach paralasam, he's going to come across shavcha? You see that historically there was a whole group of people that were mashach paralasam and nothing happened to them. Shenemar himol yimol. How do I know that mashach paralasam has to do a mila? It says himol yimol, a double lashon, which sounds like afilu me'apamim, that even if a person did a mila and then it got covered up, do it again, and then it got covered up, do it again. Va'omer. And the pasuk also says that esprisi afer, that l'rabel says samashuch, that someone who doesn't do a bris mila esprisi afer, and that we darshan that that's l'rabel as samashuch. How is that l'rabel says samashuch? It just says that someone who doesn't do a mila esprisi afer. Right, the beginning of the pasuk is aral zachar sher lo yimol es besar arlaso v'nuksa nefshi yimei amela esprisi afer. That it's someone who didn't do a mila. So the Beis Halevi in Parsha Shmos explains the drasha that the lashon of hafara always implies a bittel of something mikanu lahaba. It's always going weiter in the future, like we find in by nedarim that the baal is made for nidre ishto dafka b'lashon mufarlach. And if he says mutarlach, it's lo amar klum. And the Rush explains because the lashon of hafara implies mikanu lahaba. So the Rush explains the pasuk over here is brisi afer. So that based on that says the Beis Halevi, the lashon of his brisi afer is shaykh dafka to someone who's mashuch and not on someone who never got a mila, because the mashuch already had a mila. So that's what we're saying is brisi affair, not forever, but now is brisi affair by being mashuch bar lasso. So that's the indication in the pasuk that it's referring to mashuch bar lasso. So before the Gemara explains what the maksha was thinking, the Gemara first explains the brisa. My viomer, it said, why do I need two psukim to tell me that a mashuch bar lasso has to do a mila, that himal yimol and as brisi afer v'chite ma'ha himal yimol l'rabos tzitzin hamakvenes amila, because you might interpret the pasuk of himal yimol to tell me to go back and cut the tzitzin hamakvenes amila, so toshama as brisi afer l'rabos esamashuch. That's why I need a second pasuk to reassure me that this is in fact talking about a mashuch Gemara also that he's chayiv in Mila. So now the Gemara explains the svara of the Maksha, that according to the Chamin, you have to do a Mila on a Doraisa level. So who svara the Maksha thought me to kanasav leshaskra from the fact that the Chamin bring a pasuk from the Torah to tell me that a Mashuch needs to do Mila. Doraisa he, that's an indication that it's Doraisa, even though the beginning of the Braisa just used the word Tsarich, which implies the Rabbanan, but then later in the Braisa we quote a pasuk. So that's why the Makshan thought it's Doraisa. Velohi, but even though there's a pasuk, it's not Doraisa. Midrabbanan ukras machta bialma. It's only a din midrabbanan. The pasuk is only nasmachta bialma, a remez to this din, and therefore it's not a kasha on Ravuna that a mashuch eats truma mida oraisa, and it's only a din midrabbanan that a mashuch is not allowed to eat truma. The Rashash points out that the pasuk is coming to teach me something else, meaning if it's only nasmachta bialma, then on a Doraisa level, the pasuk must actually be teaching me something else. So the Rashash says it's no mystery. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafnun Tas, tells us that the pasuk is l'rabos b'nei keturah, to come to include b'nei keturah in Mila, and not anything to do with mashuch par lasso. So now the Gemara brings a raya against Rav Huna from a brisa, because we're going to find the brisa that tells me that a mashuch can even eat truma midrabanan. Rav Huna said midaraisa he's allowed to eat truma, just midrabanan he's possible. But meisvei tumtum einochel b'truma nashav avadvochlin. The brisa says that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma, although his wives and servants are allowed to eat truma, because even someone who's a wife or a servant of a vaday arel is allowed to eat truma. So tumtum is a safek arel, meaning one thing we know about the tumtum, he never got a bris mila, but what we don't know about him is whether he needs a bris mila, because we don't know if he's a male or a female. So he's a suffolk arel. Mashuch v'nolak shumol, the brisa continues, if someone is mashuch, and that's going to be the key line for us, and someone is nolak shumol, harei elu ochlim, they get to eat truma. Sounds like lahalacha, even midrabanan, they're allowed to eat truma. Androgynous ochel b'truma, someone is an androgynous and has a mila, is allowed to eat truma, because whether he's an ish, whether he's an isha, or whether he's a bria b'fnei atzma, he's mizara shal arna kohen, so he's allowed to eat truma. Vein ochel b'kachim, but he's not allowed to eat kache kachim, because the halach is kache kachim are only lezichre kuhuna. Only male kohanim are allowed to eat kache kachim, and androgynous is a suffolk, where he might be an isha, he might not be, he might be a bria b'fnei atzma. Tumtum ein ochel lo b'truma v'lo b'kachim, but tumtum is neither allowed to eat truma nor kache kachim, because if you tear him open and it turns out he's a zachar, then he's an arel, and an arel is not allowed to eat truma or kachim or any type of kachim. So katani mihas, but the point of quoting this whole brisa is that mashuch v'nolik shumal hare elu ochlin, that it says that a mashuch bar lasso is allowed to eat truma. Sounds like even midrabanan is allowed to eat truma. Tiyufta d'Rav Huna, tiyufta. So isn't that a kasha on Rav Huna who says that the mashuch needs a mila, and he's not allowed to eat truma on a d'Rabbanan level? So the Karenor raises the question, how is that a kasha on Rav Huna? Maybe the Brice is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that a mashuch doesn't require mila. Meaning there is a shita in Tanayim that a mashuch does not even require mila. The chiddush of Rav Huna is that Rav Huna assumes that a mashuch does require mila. And he says, even though he requires meal, it's not a psul d'oraisa, it's still going to be a psul d'rabbanan. So maybe the brisa that tells you that it's not even a psul d'rabbanan is assuming like the other shita in Tanaim, that he doesn't need a meal to begin with. And that's why he's allowed to teach him, because there's mamish nothing wrong with him. So the Karenor is miyashiv, that it's mashiv from the brisa, that a mashuch is dumya to a nolad kshumahul, that it's similar to the case of someone born with a meal. Someone who's nolad kshumahul requires hatavs dambris, but afal pikein, until he has a tavas dambris, he's not considered an arel and he's allowed to eat truma. Meaning there are different dinim in mila. There's a mitzvah to do a maisa of mila, so that's not a tavas dambris that you have to do for an olik shumal. But then there's a separate din called an arel, that there's a psul arel to eat truma. Someone who's born without an arla is not an arel. So mashuch also, even though he has to be mal, he can eat truma. So we're assuming that it's that this brisa is working with the assumption that he has to do something, that he has to be mal, because it puts him together with someone who's no lag shumal. So I'm reminded, now just to analyze some of the details that were mentioned in this braisa. The braisa said tumtum einu ochel b'truma, that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma, but nashav avad v'ochel, the wives and servants of a tumtum are allowed to eat truma. Nashav the tumtum in nalei. Where did a tumtum find a wife? How could it be that a tumtum is going to have a wife? Ile mit kaddish. If you're going to say, well, what do you mean? He went over to a woman, he gave her a ring, and he said in front of two eidim, Harem kedash libitavaz kedash Moshe v'isals. He's mekadish nisha. Titanya tumtum shakidish kiddush of kiddushin. After all, the Brisa tells us that it works when a tumtum is mekadish nisha, and not only that, niskadish kiddush of kiddushin. On the chance that he's in a keva, if a man is mekadish a tumtum, the kiddushin is also something that works. Says Gemara, works emer damer luchumra. It means we have to be choshesh for the kiddushin if tumtum is either mekadish or niskadish. But lekula biyamrinan. But does that ever mean that we say that Lukula, that we treat the tumtum like a male and allow him therefore to do and allow therefore his wife who's an Isha Zara perhaps, meaning maybe he's a woman and therefore there is no wife and therefore she's not married to a Kohen. So you're gonna be Makil based on the Kiddushin of a Tumtum? Safik Isha, Ivein Isha, Mekadesh is Isha. Tumtum is a Safik Isha, an Isha cannot be Mekadesh, another Isha. So how can it be that a Tumtum's wife is able to eat Truma? A Tumtum can't have a wife, Bitoras Vadai. At most he has a wife, B'torah Safek, and B'torah Safek, you're not going to be Makel. It's one thing to be Machmir, that is Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin. We mentioned, Agav, that to be Machmir, that if he's Makadesh a woman, that it's a valid Kiddushin, so I understand what the Chumrah would be. She can't get married to anybody else without a get. What does it mean to be Machmir, that if someone's Makadeshim, that Kiddush of Kiddushin? If someone's Makadeshim, he can't get married anyway to anybody else anyway, meaning he's a Tumtum. And it doesn't limit a man who is Mekadesh somebody, the man can marry other people anyway. So the nafkamina would be if when you're Mekadesh or Tumtum, whether the Kiddushin is valid or not, whether you're Asr the Mekadesh in the Tumtum sister or mother, meaning you become Asr to all of the Krovin. So that would be the nafkamina when it comes to a Tumtum. But bottom line is, our Gemara is asking, I don't understand how you could say that the wives of a Tumtum are allowed to eat Truma. A Tumtum can't have a wife where you're confident enough that this actually is his wife, and most he could have a Suffolk wife. It can't be that he'll have a wife, that you're confident enough that it is his wife, that you're going to be Makel and allow her to eat Truma. So two answers. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Kisha Beitzav Nikaros Mibachutz. Maybe there are testicles that appear outside of external to the body, and it's only the gid that's covered by the or that's covered by the skin that make him incapable of having bia. But we know what he actually is. So he's a tumtum in the sense that the Ever Azachrus is covered, but we also know for sure that he's a male. So maybe that's the case. Tosos raises the question. If he's not a ben bia, then how his chuppah is not a chuppah, and he shouldn't be able to be machil his wife truma. The Gemara says about a p'chusa mibas shalosh shalim that since ain bias or bia, the chuppah is not a chuppah. So Tos says no, it's not that ain bias or bia. He is a person who's capable of bia. It's just going to take some surgery. It's going to take some opening him up. So it's just that in his current state, he's not physically capable of performing bia. But he is someone who's biyaso biya. He's someone who's bimahuso. He's a person who's capable of biya. So that's one answer. Sabai says it's a tumtum that we know for sure is a male, and therefore when he's mekadish nisha, that isha can eat truma on account of him. Rava amar my nashav imo. Nashav doesn't mean his wives. It means his mom is allowed to eat truma. If his mom is Bas Yisrael, that was married to a kohen, and the kohen died, and the only offspring she has to show for it is him, so then the mom is allowed to eat truma. That's all it means. So the Aruch Lener says, well, wait a second. Why does it say nashav? He only has one mother, meaning if it means his mom, so why does it say nashav? So it says it could be that the Brice is coming to tell me that all of the mothers, meaning Imo, Eim Aviv, Eim Avi Aviv, meaning anyone in the family who's a Bas Yisrael that was married to a Kohen, and he's the offspring of, and he's the surviving offspring of, he could be Machul Truma back up the line. So that's what it means. When it says Nashav means Imo. It says Mari, Imo Pshita. Of course he's allowed to be Machul, his mother Truma. So Ma'od Detema Molin Machul Shein Molin Eino Machul. Now I might have thought that he can't be Machul, his mother Truma, because he can't have offspring of his own. And only someone who's able to have children could be Machul. Someone who's not able to carry on the line is not able to be machil truma. So kamashman, that's what it tells me. As long as he's alive, he's allowed to be machil his mother truma. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya to Abaye against Rava from a brisa. Again, we asked, how can it be that a tumtum has a wife who's going to be truma? So Abaye says it's a tumtum that we know for sure is male, and Rava said no, it doesn't mean his wife, it means his mother. So tashma, we have a brisa that tells us as follows: tumtum ino achalo b'truma v'lo b'kachim. A tumtum is not allowed to eat truma or kachim. So from the fact that it says at the end of the brisa again, it repeats the din of a tumtum, the same brisa that we quoted, that we mentioned before, repeats the din of a tumtum at the end. So bishlam l'abaye, I understand very well according to Abaye why does say the din of a tumtum twice? Tana resha aral vada, katani sefa safik aral. The resha was talking about a case where we knew that he's a male. Sefa was talking about a regular tumtum that it's not beitz of nikaros mibachutz, where we don't know that he's a male. So in each case, it has to tell me that he's not allowed to eat truma. El rava tumtum the sefa lamali, but according to Rava, the tumtum is physically the same in the resha and the sefa. So why does it mention tumtum again? So it says my tumtum aral. In the sefa, when it says tumtum, it means a real aral, a vaday aral. Well, hash safik aral lo'achil, vaday aral lo'achil. Well, then why is the sefa even necessary? The resha already told me that a safik aral is not allowed to eat truma. So what? A vaday aral is going to be allowed to eat truma? Of course, a vaday aral is also not allowed to eat truma. Why does the sefa need to say it? So it says no, matam ka'amar. The sefa is explanatory. It's explaining the resha. Matam tumtum eino achal b'truma. Why is it that a tumtum can't eat truma? Because a tumtum has a chashash arelus. He might be an arel. And the halacha is that an arel is not allowed to eat truma nor kachim. And that also explains, by the way, why when the sefer talks about an arel, it calls him a tumtum. Meaning, because it's really using arel to explain the din of tumtum. Otherwise, use the word arel. Why would you use the word tumtum when you're describing an arel? So it's using the word tumtum to explain why Taka is that a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma. It's because of the chashash arelus, and a real arel for sure is not allowed to eat truma. Okay, but we had this discussion whether a mashuch ba'arlaso is allowed to eat truma. So we said that according to Rav Huna, yes on a daraisa level, but no on a drabbanan level. So lema katanai, maybe that issue, whether a mashuch ba'arlaso is... requires a milah even midaraisa midrabbanan, tali in machlokas tanaim. So mashuch, the brisa says as follows: if someone is mashuch parlaso, the gershon is kairik shumal, or someone converts and he already has a bris milah, he already is circumcised, where you need to do atavistan bris, we do this all the time. The katan shavars mano, or a katan who's past 8 days from being born, he's more than a week old, and he still doesn't have a mila. Ushar kalani molim, and anyone else who needs a bris mila, la asuye mishyesh shtei arelos, including someone who has two arlas. Still, the mila has to be done dafka during the day, like a regular mila biyom hashmini. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer bizmano. He says, no, only on a mila bismana do we have such a din that the mila has to be during the daytime, but a mila shalob bismana can be done bain bayom bain belayla. So my lab ba'akamifli, what is this machlokas, whether a mila shalob bismana has to be done bayom? Demar sovra tanakama must hold mashuch daraisa. So then mashuch requires mila on a daraisa level, and therefore his mila must only be done during the day, just like anyone else's chayiv in mila midaraisa. Umar sovra mashuch darabanan. And Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon must hold that a mashuch parlaso only requires a mila midrabanan. So since he doesn't need a real mila anyway, it's only a midrabanan, so we let him do it at night. So it says, Marv Tizbra, how are you going to explain that we didn't only mention mashuch as being subject to this machlokas about whether you're allowed to do mila at night? Katan shavars manu ikal mandir midrabanan. If you're going to say that the whole machlokas whether you're allowed to do mila at night in this category of people that the Brisa spoke about is a machlokas whether they require a mila midaraisa midrabanan, one of the people in the category was a baby who's more than a week old. You're going to tell me someone holds that a baby more than a week old is only chayv mila midrabanan, and that's why you're allowed to do mila at night? That can't be. So that must not be the explanation of the machlokas. Ela dukuli alma mashuch v'katan shavar mashuch drabanan v'katan shavar zmanu daraisa. Everyone agrees that a mashuch parlasa only needs a mila on a drabana level. And everyone agrees that a baby more than a week old needs a mila on a daraisa level. And over here, the machlokas is, in all these cases that we mentioned, whether you're allowed, the machlokas, whether you're allowed to do mila at night, is about a drasha. It's about whether we darshan the letter vav in the pasuk, u bayom hashmini yimol basar alaso. Mar savar darshinon u bayom, the Tanakhama holds, from the extra vav in the word ubayom, we include a meal that's made after Yom HaShemini, that it also needs to be done b'yom v'lo b'layla. So since even a meal of shalom b'zman, it has to be done b'yom, so when the chacham were mechayiv and mashach bar lasso to also do mila, so they were mechayiv him to be mal like any meal is done, called the tikkun rabban and kendar reis tikkunim. There's no such thing as a mila b'layla, because even a mila that's shalom b'zman was done b'yom. Umar sav, whereas Rav Elazar b'Shimon holds lo dashinan ubayom, says that yeah, the pasuk says b'yom HaShemini, and therefore it teaches me that mila is b'yom, but that's only when it's b'yom HaShemini, and he doesn't darshin the extra vav to tell me that even in a mila shalom b'zman. So you're right, of course a baby that's more than a week old needs a mila on a daraisa level, but that mila could be done at night, says Rav Elazar b'Shimon, and therefore the mashach bar lasa could also be done at night, because when the rabbanan are misakin, it just has to be patterned after some din dal raisa. Ki had yas Rabbi Yochanan kadarish nosar bezmanu in nisar fellow biyom, like Rabbi Yochanan was darshening once that nosar on the day that it became nosar, it can only be burnt during the daytime shalom bezmanu, but when it's already been sitting around for a while nisar bein biyom bein belayla, then you're allowed to burn it even at night. So the isfer Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer challenged Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say how can you hold that when the Torah says that you should burn it only during the day, that's only talking about when you're soreif nosar bezmanu? We find when it comes to the mitzvah of Mila that there's an extra vav to tell me that even the Mila Shalom Bismana is done during the day. So you see that the extra word vav teaches me that even the Mila Shalom Bismana is done during the day, and therefore when the pasuk says viha nosar, we should also darshin that nosar Shalom Bismana is only during the day. And even if you don't like darshining vavs, by nosar it's even stronger, because it doesn't say vin no sir, it says vi ha no sir. Vav hey dar ve hey darish. Everyone would hold the vav and the hey, you're going to darshan. So that was the challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. That how can you say that no sir shalom bezmano that you could burn at night? So Ishtik, he had nothing to answer to the challenge of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yochanan was blown away. He was impressed by Rabbi Lazar's koach of drasha, and therefore he backed out. So Basa Dinafik, after Rabbi Lazar left, Rabbi Yochanan was still marveling at the power of Rabbi Lazar's ability to darshan. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, talking about Rabbi Lazar, Reisi Leben Pedas, Yoshev Yidorish Kemoshe Mipia Gvura. I just saw Rabbi Lazar Ben Pedas darshaning like Moshe Mipia Gvura. You have to keep in mind, Rabbi Lazar Ben Pedas was not a Tana, he was an Amora, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lazar, he's the Rabbi Lazar Stam you have throughout Shas. Rabbi Lazar that's in the Mishnayos is Rabbi Lazar Ben Shemua. So Rabbi Lazar Ben Pedas, my Talmud, look what kind of Talmud I have. So Amalei Reish Lakish, Didehi. Reish Lakish says, Didehi Masnisi. You think he made up that drasha? It's a Mefurish Abrais. Where is that Mefurish Abraisa? B'Toras Kayanim. So Navik Tanya B'Tos Yomi, so Rabbi Yochanan said, oh boy, I need a Chazer Toras Kayanim. So he went out for 3 days and he dedicated himself to relearning all of Toras Kayanim. It was far B'Tos Yarchi. And then he was Ma'ayin into Toras Kayanim for 3 more months to realize that he shouldn't forget these drushes anymore. Okay, period. Now, Amar Blazer, Arel Shehiza. Well, again, going back to the topic of an Arel. What if an Arel performs the Hazaas Mechatos? Does that count? So Arul Shehiza Hazaasuk Sheva. The Hazaa is Kasher. Mi Didava Tvul Yom, just like a Tvul Yom. Shav Pishas Bechuma Kasher Bepara. That even though he's Asur Bechuma, he's allowed to do the Hazaa of the Paraduma. So Mal Tvul Yom Shekin Mutar BeMeiser. But a Tvul Yom is allowed to eat Meiser Sheni. An Arul can't. But the Gemara answers, but who cares what he can eat? We're not talking about eating. We're talking about touching over here. And the limud is, if a tevul yom who's not allowed to touch truma, and nevertheless is mutar bepara, he's allowed to touch the mechatas to do the hazaa of the mechatas. Aral shemutar benegia, and odin shemutar bepara. An aral is allowed to touch truma. Of course, he's allowed to touch the mechatas. Tani namiyachi aral shehizazah. So ksheira ma'isa yevich shiv chacham ma'zasah. The Chacham allow an Aral to do that. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges Tumtum Shekidesh. So the Gemara asks from a Brisa, it's going to be Mefurish, and Aral is not kosher to deal with Mechatas. It says Tumtum Shekidesh. Tumtum is Mekadesh the Mechatas. He mixes the Mechatas. Kiddush Apostle. It's Apostle. Meishu Safik Aral, because he might be an Aral. An Aral Apostle Kadesh. The Androgynous Shekidesh Kiddush Kosher. But an Androgynous would be kosher. Rabbi Yudom Rav Androgynous Shekidesh Kiddush Apostle. That even Androgynous would be Apostle. Meishu Safik Isha. Because he might be a woman. But Katani Mia, Oral v'safik oral pasul mekadesh. It says explicitly that an oral can't be mekadesh the mechatas. So it stands to reason if he can't be mekadesh the mechatas, he also can't be mazeh the mechatas. So Rav Yosef, hi Tana, Tana de Rav Yekiva. This Tana that passes the oral from being mazeh is like the Tana de Rav Yekiva. The marbi leila oral ketame, that includes an oral to have a din like a tame. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us that how do I know that an oral is not any truma? Because we had said that Rav Lazar thought it's because of toshav asaf. Here and Rabbi Akiva Omer Ish Ish. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's from Ish Ish Mizar Aaron, where it talks about all the psulim of Truma. So the fact that it says Ish twice is Lurabo Sa'aral. We had 2 days ago that it's Lurabo Sa'aral, that the Aral is not allowed to eat Truma like a Tamei, that like all the Tameim that the Pasuk talks about. So you see that Rabbi Akiva considers an Aral like a Tamei person. So according to Rabbi Akiva, an Aral is going to be asked to touch Truma, and therefore he's also going to be asked to be of the Mechatas, because he's a Tamei person. So the Brisa that says that an Aral is possible from being Mekadesh Mechatas is going like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, holds the Makar that an Aral is not allowed to eat Truma is a Gzeres Shav of Toshav Asachir to Korban Pesach. So an Aral does not have a din of a Tamei person. Okay, so Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rava, falling behind a little bit. It's a short daf tomorrow. So Bez Hashem, we will catch up. Have a great day, everybody. It's a big short day. Yeah. Have a good day.